Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
We are back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We're going to move away from the local sports front and talk Major League Baseball. It's easy to forget that we're about a month away from pitchers and catchers reporting, because right now we have the whole hustle and bustle with the NFL. The NBA is now past MLK Day, and it seems like that's the second half for the casual fans, the beginning of the season. And of course, college football is now done. Easy to forget about baseball, but we are January 17th already. Winter meetings have wrapped up, and we just don't know where a couple of big name free agents are actually going to go. In fact, we do know the San Francisco Giants seem very intent to bring in high priced talent that were good about 3 or 4 years ago. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our good friend Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, it's been too long since we have had you on to talk Major League Baseball, but I appreciate the time today.
Yeah, I appreciate the time as well, sir. Let's get into it.
And let's talk about it, because again, like I said, it's easy to forget about baseball this time of the year. It really is.
It is. I mean, you get caught up in the NFL stuff, and then, you know, you hear about the Ocean's 11 type break-in of the LA Clippers locker room the other day. That becomes a storyline. So there's a lot of things going on, but to your point, we're less than 30 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting, and there's a lot of storylines that are starting to percolate now around the horn.
Let's start by talking about the San Francisco Giants. For me, looking at this team, they maybe are better off going the route of the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates have hit the reset button. They trade Gerrit Cole. I know that Harrison's going to be moved here relatively soon. That just seems like a give me. And then they move Andrew McCutchen. I understand what Pittsburgh is doing. I do not understand what the San Francisco Giants are doing. I know that Andrew McCutchen is coming in on a contract here. I get that. I get that he's okay with making the move to right field. Yet at the same time, this move does not make the San Francisco Giants any better. In fact, it maybe even makes them worse when you take a look at the situation in the grand scheme of things, Steve.
There's so many fascinating storylines with Pittsburgh doing this, because couldn't you argue that Andrew McCutchen is as big a name and as big a brand in Pittsburgh as Giancarlo Stanton was to Miami? That can be argued. Now, the numbers are not comparable, but Andrew McCutchen is as big a name to the Pirates as Stanton was to the Marlins. Yet I don't hear as much anger and discontent from Pirates fans, who seemingly are content with the idea that, yes, this is a rebuild mode for the Pittsburgh Pirates. What I don't understand is the anticipation in San Francisco for this. Andrew McCutchen hasn't hit more than 30 home runs in a single season since 2012. He's never had 100 RBIs. In a single season in his major league career, he's never had 100 RBIs. Yet, you hear people from San Francisco and you hear Giants fans talk about this like this is the greatest move that the Giants have made in the history of the Giants. And I just don't see it. You're getting an aging outfielder who clearly is telling you he doesn't want to play center field. He'd rather play right field, which is a cavern in San Francisco. So now you're getting a guy who, again, he's coming into a contract year. I understand all that. I don't want this guy on the tail end of his career. I just don't. And I think that's what you're getting with Andrew McCutchen. And if you're Pittsburgh, yeah, you lose a big name, but you're in a reset mode. We've seen this mode of operation work out before. We saw it work with Houston. We saw it work with other teams, you know, dumping high-priced talent. You're kind of seeing it with the Dodgers, dumping some high-priced talent, looking ahead to the future a little bit. I know we'll get into the Dodgers here in a moment. But to me, this just seems like you just wanted a big name on a roster to sell tickets and fill seats. That's great. I don't think it makes the Giants any better in the National League West.
Really, I don't either. I mean, again, he's going to join, which is definitely a new-look lineup. It's going to include Longoria. Bochy is definitely going to be relying on both of these guys to produce some runs. But the problem is Andrew McCutchen has hit, 28 home runs, 88 RBIs last season. I mean, that is it. Hasn't been an all-star since 2015. It's a stretch. It's almost as if they're trying to do patchwork. And in the NL West, I still don't think they're better than the Diamondbacks. I don't think they're better than the Rockies. And this definitely does not even put them in the same realm as the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, in regards to the Pittsburgh Pirates, they moved on from Cole. They've moved on from McCutchen. Josh Harrison says it would be better for all if he was to be moved. And I actually like Josh Harrison. I think he's got a very friendly contract as well. And you're talking about a guy that can play, that can amply play multiple positions here, Steve. I would expect Josh Harrison, based on what he is owed next season, to kind of be a hot commodity over the next couple of weeks. I could see a lot of teams calling the Pirates on Harrison.
Yeah, he's scheduled to make, I think, $10 million this year. They've got options on his contract for 2019 and 2020. He's an all-star. He plays well at both positions in the infield, second base, third base. He's played some outfield. He's a utility guy. You can move him around to different locations. And I think he's a guy who, if you're the Pirates, yeah, do you want the distraction of someone who doesn't want to be there and clearly isn't happy there? Do you want that in your roster? Do you want that in your clubhouse? No. The idea that he's a prima donna, because he's saying this, and I've heard that from people who have said, oh, you know, we don't need a guy with a prima donna attitude. Guess what? They're all millionaires. They all have prima donna attitudes. Some of them actually want to win. Some of them actually want to be on teams that are competitive, and they're willing to make a sacrifice here or there. Not all the time, not all the athletes, but there are those who do. And I mean, if you're telling me that, you know, if the idea of him moving to a better team for better possibilities is a bad thing, then you've just described every single American's desire to move up in an organization or move up in their business as being selfish. And I'm sorry, that's wrong. If that's selfish, I'm okay with selfishness. That's the same argument that was maintained when Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City to go to Golden State. He wanted a chance to play on a winner. He felt that was the best decision for him and his family. And if Josh Harrison feels that way, then by all means, let me help you out in that cause.
Again, we're being joined right now by Steve Bordstein, the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But Steve, let's talk about some of the free agents, because I thought the last time you and I talked, I thought by the next time we had a conversation about Major League Baseball, there would be enough movement. But still, it's kind of like the hot stove. It's frozen right now. I mean, we still have names like Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta just sitting there. Kind of shocking. I know everyone is gearing up for 2019. I get that. But there are still a group of players that could help contending teams win right now. The problem is nobody wants to break the bank for these guys. And I guess it's just obvious. That's why we're kind of at a standstill at the moment.
I think there's a standstill, and I think the reason you're seeing some of these big-name teams with big-time payrolls not being very active right now is, A, I think there's a comfort level. We mentioned it a moment ago with the Andrew McCutchen deal in San Francisco not making them better than this team, that team, or this team. That move doesn't make them any closer to the L.A. Dodgers. And if looking at the Dodgers right now, okay, they acquired Scott Alexander from Kansas City. They shipped out Adrian Gonzalez, Brandon McCarthy, Scott Kazmir. They reacquired Matt Kemp for some ungodly reason I can't really understand. But okay, so they did all these things, and they've got this ton of money sitting there. Meantime, the Cubs have been relatively quiet also in this offseason. They've made a few tinkering moves here or there, but they haven't gone all in on anybody. Why? Because the big prize is at the end of next season. It's next year when you have Bryce Harper out there. And there is going to be a massive bidding war between the Dodgers and the Cubs for Bryce Harper. Now, there's going to be other names that will be out there as well, but that's the coveted prize right now. He's made it very clear, much like we talked about with Josh Harrison. He's made it very clear. He's frustrated in Washington. They're not the team. They're not the organization. He wants to be on a team that's going to provide him an opportunity to win championships. Those are both the Cubs and the Dodgers, and the reason you haven't seen them make big moves is because there's no one close to them right now in their respective divisions. Nobody's catching the Dodgers. They may not be a World Series champion in 2018, but the roster that they put out there in 2017 was 9 innings away, painfully as that is to admit, 9 innings away from being world champions. The Cubs were 1 series away from being playing in back-to-back World Series. Both of those teams are going to be just as good in 2018 as they were in 2017. So to that end, that's why you're not seeing a lot of movement from these big money teams, with the exception of the Yankees. And good for them. They went out and got themselves another 200 strikeout guy in Giancarlo Stanton. That's fantastic. They're going to hit 9,000 home runs, and they're going to lose in the playoffs like they always do. So I'm fine with that. But as far as the National League is concerned, I'm okay with where the Dodgers are, and I'm fine if you're a Cubs fan with where they are.
I also think one of the things that have held the game up, the free agency game up this offseason, is the fact that the Sohei Ohtani sweepstakes, that was a big deal. And I saw a lot of movement. The Mariners, for one, the Mariners made a move when they acquired D. Gordon in the offseason. And I thought, okay, they're actually in play to grab Ohtani because of the amount of money that they garnered in international play, for an international player. There were several teams that I thought were trying to make moves to make sure they could facilitate Ohtani. And at the same time, you also had the Giancarlo Stanton deal, which we all know held up numerous signings. It held up numerous. It was kind of like the domino effect, right? We thought that once Stanton found a landing spot, all these dominoes would fall. But I think that those were two very big roadblocks this offseason, Steve.
No, and I agree with that. And I think, you know, to the point of the Giancarlo Stanton move, you know, again, the Yankees needed another name out there to either facilitate or to protect Aaron Judge in the lineup there. That was done for a very specific reason. Teams that don't have specific needs going into 2018, but know that there's going to be specific needs in 2019, are going to sit back on it. And I know earlier, before we went on the air, we were talking about, you know, the Dodgers pitching staff, and I know we're going to get there in a moment. The Ohtani move was a big roadblock for a lot of teams because a lot of teams were paying a lot of attention, and I know there's also that, you know, there was some controversy about whether or not there was some, you know, improprieties and how he was moved around from team to team and, you know, the negotiations and the process and all that. I don't care about that. I'm wherever he wound up, good. Good luck with it. Best of luck with it. That's fine. As far as the stand thing, I think that was your big move, and now there is this stalling point where you're going to see one or two more names moved. You're going to see a couple of more players, but this is setting up for a trade deadline in August or July, and then a free agent bonanza, which is going to be so much fun to talk about as we get to the end of next season.
All right, so let me ask you this question. What happens first, and this is in regards to pitching, because you did mention the Dodgers pitching staff. Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta find homes, or the Rays finally move Chris Archer, who has been in trade rumors for the past, seems like, 3 years?
I think Darvish happens and Arrieta happens before we find out where Archer goes. And I think one A have to do with B. Like, if the Cardinals wind up going for Arrieta, which would be hilarious in every way imaginable, division rival, et cetera, or if Darvish winds up with the Cubs, I know that's been talked about a little bit. I think those happen before Archer happens.
Fantastic stuff. And you mentioned the Dodgers pitching staff. If they don't bring back Yu Darvish, you and I are on opposite ends here. This team is ready to win a World Series right now. I say go out, spend, let's do this right now. You don't want anything to do with Yu Darvish. So if the Dodgers were to stay away from Darvish, are you comfortable with where this rotation is in LA right now?
Did you forget Game 7?
Don't care. He got him there. They don't get there without him. They don't get there without him.
They'll lose the World Series without him.
That's fair, too.
I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, I remember the first five innings of games. I remember the first two innings of Game 7. They were fairly dreadful.
He was horrible in the World Series. But I also...
I understand the idea of Darvish. What I'm worried about is this. Did Darvish do too much harm to his reputation in L.A.?
That's a fair point.
That fan
That's
base
a fair
for
point.
A moment.
That's a fair point. That's fair. That's fair.
You know, I mean, I don't know if that necessarily works. Now, to that end, you put there's one piece of the equation with L.A. that we tend to forget about, and that is there's one more offensive weapon that'll be back with the Dodgers next year. That's Andrew Tolles.
Correct.
Once you get him back into the lineup, you go back to that small ball mentality. You go back to station-to-station baseball, which is what Andrew Tolles was going to provide had he stayed healthy in 2017. And in my mind, would have put the Dodgers over the top. You could have put literally anybody on the mound in the World Series at that point. Now, does that mean Yu Darvish? If Dodger fans can overlook the absolute calamity that was Game 7, okay, yes, but I'm not banking on that guy. I can't bank on that guy doing that again, not screwing up again in Game 7 of the World Series in 2018. That's my only worry, is does he make that same mistake again? If he doesn't, and he comes back and he dedicates himself to, you know, to being the same pitcher he was when the Dodgers acquired him, okay, I'm fine with that maybe. But that's a big, big stretch. And if that's not the guy, then I think you have to go out and look elsewhere for another pitcher. Because, again, I get your point. You know, Kershaw's older now. Rich Hill's older now. Alex Wood's older now. I get it. Rich Hill's one more blister away from going on the DL for 60 days. I
blister
get all
boy.
That. Kershaw's back's always an issue.
Right.
I understand all that. Do you put Darvish out there as a safeguard? Maybe. But that's an awfully big risk.
You had to bring up Blister Boy.
Well, of course I do. How do you not bring up Blister Boy? That guy's a hand lotion advertisement waiting to happen.
It's almost like a major league plot, like the movie Major League, a pitcher that can't stay away from blisters.
Right.
That's what it is.
He's the guy who needs the lucky charm on his bat. He's Serrano.
Right. Steve Bornstein of Fox Sports in New Mexico. Steve, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Fox Sports, AM 1340, 93.9 FM. If you're in the Northwest New Mexico area, why wouldn't you be? You can listen live to First Sports every weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Or if you're anywhere around the country, you can listen live on the iHeartRadio app through our website at foxsports1340.com. We talk national sports. We're obviously getting ready for the NFL Conference Championship games coming up this weekend. We are your exclusive home here in the Four Corners for the Super Bowl coming up in a couple weeks. So we'll have that going on. We also cover a variety of national sports. Jordan is a frequent guest on the show talking college football, so we appreciate all of his hard work as well. You can follow me on Twitter at Fox1340AM, and in addition to the morning drive sports talk show on weekend mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern, I also host a nationally syndicated horse racing show called The Fast Track. And again, for more information on that, go to our Twitter fan page at Fox1340AM.
Yeah, and if you didn't get all that, look, Steve's a workhorse. It's 7 days a week, right, Steve?
It is. It's 7 days a week, but it's beautiful. It's an endeavor based on love.
Definitely. That's a great way to put it. Steve, I always look forward to the conversation. Thank you again for the time. I know we'll do it again soon.
Anytime, my friend.
We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.